You know, this time of year is always interesting. Somebody came up to me this morning. You know, I'll tell you what I think about this time of the year. It's a time when I can capture it by the four R's: rest, reflection, review, and retooling. Now, some of us fit in those first three. Some of us are reviewing, some of us are resting, and some of us are reflecting. But there's a special person who's dealing with that retooling, and that's the pastor. So I'd like to take this moment and acknowledge our pastor, our leader, and our friend, Pastor Dan Beatty. Amen. And I want to also acknowledge his rib, our first lady, Miss Laverne Beatty. Amen. And I was talking about the month of August, and I was saying, that's another thing I got to acknowledge, because I see them back there whispering to each other. And they say, he ain't said nothing about us. I want to acknowledge my two granddaughters and my son, his two daughters, the other day. And that's Mark, Marcel, and Marissa. I saw them back there frowning, you know, say, well, and so I thought I better give them a shout out. But while I'm shouting, I just want to do something else. Since we're talking about I want to tell you, this month of August is Foundation Month. Okay. And I'm going to go into that a little bit. But I want to do some things. Since it's Foundation Month, I want to acknowledge this group of people. I want to acknowledge what I wrote down here. And the Valley Brook Exodus Group. We've been in Exodus for 7 months, and Exodus is coming out of all of us. You know, everything, every time you move, it's something about Exodus just jump out at you. So this valuable Exodus group is that group of young missionaries, I call them, who struck out to a new place, but they didn't go under the cloud of performance or success. They didn't go searching for success. They went under the cloud of the presence of the Lord. And that's what made me think about Exodus. That's why I call them an Exodus group. And we got some of those people here that, you know, these people were in from 20, 22, 21. Michael's looking up. He went up. He know what I'm talking about. Pastor know what I'm talking about. Some others, y'all know who I'm talking about too around. So I'm just going to ask these group of young mercenaries, they were mercenaries too, you know, because they had to fight some battles, boy, I tell you that. Lord, you know, I didn't put that in there, you did. But they were young missionaries. You know, can you imagine being 22 or 23, 24, 25, and leaving your home, leaving your family, taking off for a place you've never been, and you're going to ask the Lord to go with you because you're going to spread his word. That's something. That's the evidence of the power of the Lord, the power of his presence lurking in somebody. And when we were going through Exodus, the reason I came up, because I think it was Exodus 34, where Moses was talking to the Lord about leading the children of Israel to this new place where they were going. And he said, the only way I would go, Lord, through this is if your presence goes with me. Right. And that's what the leader of that group said. So basically that made me think back to Exodus. So that's how I gave him that name this morning. That's not their real name, but that's the name I just gave them. Will you all please stand, please, because y'all know what I'm talking about. That group of missionaries that came from the Midwest, Detroit, Ohio. Come on, come on. Don't be bashful. These people came from Detroit and Ohio. That, come on. Robin. See, these are the first people who docked in this area as the foundation started of this church, Valley Brook. I just wanted to do that because when you have a month that the theme is foundation like August is, it gives you room to roam all over the place. Pastor set that up so there was no way that his elders could mess up anyway, because whatever they talked about would be all right. Thank you, Pastor. That's one thing I like about our pastor. The Lord talks to him and walks with him and tell him we are his own, you know, regardless of what we are his, you know. So it's good being here this morning. And now we're going to move on. I'm not going to hold you long, but I have to let you know that I ain't in charge. And when the Spirit is in charge, you can't say, Spirit, you're going to leave this place and you're going to do your thing in 10 minutes. Or you're going to do your thing in 3 hours. I don't want nobody to get up and run when they think I'm talking about maybe staying here for 3 hours. So be at ease. It's going to be all right. You know, we're going to be sensible with this thing. And so I just want to talk to you about how strong the Spirit is and how this is a thing of just being authentic with the Lord. And the Lord knows that, you know, we want to be close to him, but he also knows that, you know, he can touch us in 5 minutes. And so, God, we're asking you just to do your thing and let us out when you're ready this morning sometimes, you know, when you get ready, maybe before 1 or something like that. So, thank you, Lord. But, Lord, you were here this morning because, you know, I tell you, it's something, Lord. But, you know, I'm not a trained teacher. So, this morning, don't think about me as teaching. Think about me as sharing and testifying. Because I can't do anything but share with you my story. See, if I can't teach, if I don't know all the scripture numbers, if I haven't sat down like pastors sit down and knows it, it's in here, it's him. And I'm so thankful that God has brought us to a leader and a pastor who is gifted, anointed, and knows how to be himself and relishes in being himself and relishes in being not in charge of us, but with us. See, when he talks to us, he talks about God first. And then he brings that into how that relates to the little piece of God in me, the little piece of God in Micah, the little piece of God in Michelle, all over the place. So that's another thing I'm thankful for this morning. But this morning's message basically is the fruits of abiding. And the scripture, I don't have a long list of scriptures. In fact, I just want you to turn to one scripture, and that's John 15:5. That's what he said. Yes, sir. You know, The book of John is so, I can see the book of John so much better than I used to could. I used to look at Romans as the book that I always would turn to, like my favorite book. But now I'm looking at John. And this is, goes into a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about here. But let me, let's go. We'll get to that a little bit. We sidetracked that for right now. But John 15, 5. I am the vine. And I'm reading from the King James Version. I like this verse from the King James Version. And I'll tell you why in a minute. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, in our book, is that he who stays in me, I believe, or something like that, remains in me. And I in him bears much fruit, semicolon. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, you know, that thing tore me up trying to get ready for this morning. Because I was trying to figure out what I was going to talk about. And since it was foundations, I was going to talk about what's in our bulletin. We may get to that if we have time. But I was going to talk about, since the foundation, I was going to talk about what are we built on? And it's good to know, and it's comforting to know, when you look, turn in your programs to the page that where Valley Book proposed to. And it's comforting to know that the first statement is to know Jesus Christ better. And that thing been riding me about since this was foundations, I was going to talk about that. But the main thing that the Lord turned me around a little bit, he pointed me to something else which relates to this very, very nicely, I believe. And that is what's contained in this scripture right here. Now, the thing that I want to do is this, is that I want to deal with looking through this scripture and realize that you can't even abide with the Lord unless he gives you the ability to do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't force it. You can't pretend it. And so basically, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, I want to deal with the fruit this morning. And I want to deal with the fruit of abiding, basically. The main focus that I'm dealing with is that the fruit of abiding is so big that I cannot go through all of it. It's unsearchable on what you can do when you abide. Now, I'm going to deal with one or two things that pertains to me relative to abiding, the fruit of abiding. What has come to me as a result of abiding. Now, one of the things that Pastor told me when we were in a Sunday school class that was titled Getting to Know Him Better, I said, Pastor, how do you do it? He said, well, Brother Jim, all you got to do is just have the desire. I said, okay. How do I get the desire? And he say, God knows your heart. And I was thankful about that because deep down within, I did have a desire to get to know him and get to know him better. Because, see, when you say better, that indicates that it's a process, it's a journey. Because if you say best, you're already there. But when you say better, you're working, you know, you better today, but you ain't as better today as you're going to be better tomorrow. And it's like going leapfrogging all the way down. So that thing hit me that when we talk about that, that came to me. And the way he says, well, how do you do all that, Pastor? He said, just set aside some time, Brother Jim, and sanctify it for you and the Lord, you and him alone. And I said, okay, I'm going to try it. And let me tell you about what happened. The first day I tried it, everything in the world, I said, Lord, I'm sanctifying this moment for you. And I sit there, and all of a sudden I start thinking about what I didn't do, what I should be doing, what Evelyn told me the other day that I didn't do, and I was in a tither. I said, dog, I can't do this thing right. So I went back to the pastor. Pastor, you know, I was trying last week. I was trying to do the thing that you said about sanctifying the time. And I said, he said, Brother Adam, watch yourself now. He said, because if you ain't careful, you'll get over into a work situation. You'll start saying, it's the right way to do it, and I got to do it this way. And be careful there. He said, there's no right and wrong way. He said, if things come into your mind, when you're sitting there, in other words, abiding in the, trying to abide in the Lord, just usher them out. And I said, okay, I'm going to try that. And so I tried it the following week. And when things would come in, I said, I'm just ushering you. No, I ain't dealing with you. I'm not dealing with you. And that got a little bit better, but it still wasn't there. And then I did that for a month or so. And fast forward to about 4 or 5 months ago, I was in the car driving, and I was saying, Lord, I'm sanctifying this time for you and me. And the radio was playing. And I reached over and grabbed the radio and cut it off, so I could abide in him. I know he was looking at me like, what is wrong with you, boy? And it's like, you think I can't cut through that radio? I'm in charge of all of that. I can cut your radio off anytime I get ready. And so what happened was that I said, okay, thank you, Lord, for that. And don't you know, I felt that something like, it's like a mystery becoming a miracle for me, because all of a sudden I could understand what was going on. I could see, I could feel him working in me as a result of this desire thing. This thing is something that out of all my years, you know, all these years, I was trying to count them, but I just see a whole lot. And after all these years, you know, God finally put me in this place. And this was the thing I was getting ready to talk about too. I was getting ready to talk about mysteries and miracles. That ain't the subject, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit in dealing with the subject. And how he brought Evelyn and I here, from Atlanta. We had no idea that Valley Brook even existed. It was, we came into the place, and the first person I saw was Brother Bill. And, in Atlanta, one of the things about the church is since it's so good being in family this morning, because in the family, you can be comfortable. You know, you can just talk about it. You ain't got to hide nothing. So, but in Atlanta, the thing is that I belonged to three churches in Atlanta before Evelyn got there even. And so basically, but the thing about it is that Brother Bill met me, and he just put his arms around me and said, "Welcome." And that thing touched me. Because I had been in churches in Atlanta. I've been in churches in Baltimore, New Shiloh. I went to New Shiloh before I went to Atlanta. But, Sunday morning was the most segregated time of the week in church. And here I come walking into this place I never knew before. And here is this white brother that runs up to me and hugged me. He hugged me real. And some of y'all wonder why I'm a teddy bear and why I like to hug. Because that hug did something to me. That hug was mysterious, but it turned into a miracle. Because of that hug, God let me see him. See, because a miracle, the mystery, all mysteries are what you can't get your head around. Any mystery you go into, it's going to be something you can't get your head around. The miracle is when you can get your head around it. See what I'm saying? See, because that mystery of why I walked into this place, unknown place, and found this wonderful brother, that I don't usually have that type of relation with, and that type of love for, and that type of love flowing, that was a mystery, just like that, boom. It was like I can relate it a little bit, and like Saul's Damascus experience with the Lord. You know, when he knocked him off the horse and said, "Saul, why are you persecuting my folk?" Saul changed after that. And that was what that was for me. That changed my whole thing. And that changed my mystery to a miracle. And then when I go back to the foundations that we're talking about, Valley Brook, when you look at your piece of paper there, we were talking about trying to deal with a diverse population. Now, we don't go out and recruit people based on what they look like, how much college education they had, or what color they are, or nothing like that. You know how we recruit the people? From our leader's vision, is that we abide with the Lord about it. And we abide with the Lord because when we moved up to this place, we had all the graphic data, the demographic data, the location data, the salary data, everybody. And Pastor, that ain't the way we're going to do. We aren't going out and recruit. We're going to sit here and pray. And this is the prayer he said. Father God, send us those who are interested, need, or fit into the stuff we are dealing with here. And sure enough, that prayer was a mystery to me. I was sitting down there looking. I had all that data that me and Michael and others had gone up and developed. We had it sitting up there in PAX. And here come the pastor. And he tells us, let's pray. Now, that was a mystery to me. But that mystery turned into a miracle when I see what God is doing here today. See, that's what mystery and miracle is all about. And it all comes back to this thing right here. Because abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And the reason I like this version of John is that the red print is what Jesus was saying. See, that ain't about me trying to interpret what Jesus said. That's what he was saying because it's in red. You know, my aptitude wasn't that high. But when he make it that plain, even I can understand. So, you know, the thing that is so big about this whole thing, this is not a little joke we are involved in here, y'all. And the good thing about being family is that when we begin to fellowship with each other, it's so fulfilling. It's so fulfilling. And, you know, that's the other thing when I walked into the church. You know, it was so friendly. You know, everybody was just together. And now I understand that too. Because what happens in our fellowship, it ain't fellowshipping around no political stance you're going to take. We ain't gathering all the Democrats over here and all the Republicans over there and all the, you know, whatever's and over there. But what it is, our fellowship is based on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you begin to abide in him, this is one of them fruits. When you begin to abide in him, he will do stuff that will let you see the power of his presence. And the first thing that happens is that stuff began to happen and you can't get your head around it. But it feels so good. It's like understanding that which you don't understand. I don't know whether any of y'all here know what I'm talking about when I say understanding what you don't understand. You see, because when you look at how Jesus died, I'm going to get to that in a while too, how Jesus died, and as a result of him dying and basically being resurrected, he was able to make sure those of us who believe have an eternal sealed peace of God Almighty living in us. His presence is in us. Now, you know, that's kind of hard to understand. The whole process is kind of hard to understand. But I understand it. And that's a miracle too. Because some people look at you crazy when you start trying to get them to logically understand all what you're talking about. You know, they look at me when I'm walking and I'm just talking to the Lord. Or they look at me like, well, that goes another old man. I guess he's entering dimension. Or as a brother Ned told me one day, he said, don't worry, Jim, it ain't Alzheimer's yet, it's sometimers. And I never will forget that. But it is true. It is true. That's one thing about Ned. You know, he's kind of loud on me sometimes, but he certainly tells the truth to the best of his knowledge. As I say, but anyway, the second fruit that I want to talk about this morning is, you know, I used to, I think, I don't know if Pastor mentioned that, but I told Pastor this. I said, Pastor, I used to read the scripture and I would be thinking all about me. I would come over here and I'd feel so let down because I know, because sometimes I just didn't measure up. You know, they say you got to do this, you need to do this and the other. And I was then looking at the scripture in terms of me. And from abiding in him, the second big fruit that's for me, since it's my testimony this morning, all I can do is share this, is that he made it so when I look with certain scriptures, I got a different take on it. And what it was is that helped me when I was getting ready for this morning. When I read John chapter 15, verse 5. I got to read this right here because I wrote this when I was sleeping and I was really abiding. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I was talking to him real hard because I hadn't gotten a whole lot. And you get to that point when you're talking to him and you ain't getting much. You get a little, you get antsy, and the thing is, but I can report to you all this morning that happened last year too. But this year, the difference is I didn't panic. I leaned back on a promise of his, and I held on because if my faith is where it's supposed to be, then I don't let go. Because I know he's going to catch me. It's like a baby. You know, your daddy throw you, and you just, ha, ha, ha. And you just go and put your arms up, and somebody catch you. You know? And so when he threw me this morning, I didn't panic, but Lord knows I was worried. But you know, I'm just so thankful to know him and the way he let me know him. This thing is so personal. What I'm talking about ain't about nobody but what I know. And it's my truth. See, how do you get your truth? You know, how does when Psalm 139 begins to be your truth? That's my truth. Because I have abided in him. And the reason I wanted Bobby to read that this morning was because I wanted to share one of my truths with everybody here today. Because if you look at that Psalm 139, that sets it up for you to understand. For without me, you can do nothing. Because when he started talking about, he knew me before I was even in my mama's womb. Now, how can I not think about that for a little bit and understand how it is when he knows what's in my mind before it's getting there? David knew that. That's why he wrote it. And that's one of the things that I feel related to David about. Even though David was acting in the Old Testament, I'm acting in the New Testament. But the one thing we have in common is the Lord. Because sometimes you look at David, he was, you know, in the scripture said David was a man after God's own heart. And when you look at that, it seems that David had this person, you know, this personal relationship thing already before Jesus had even come. But he had been here before because he was here when they were in the garden back in Genesis. He was here back at that time. And at that time, he had a relationship unto Adam and Eve. Sin, and that's how we lost that. That's why we had to deal with our Savior being sent and suffering so much on that cross and going through the fact of being resurrected so he can put into play the new deal, which basically shows us how God is looking for a relationship. And it was, God was looking for strict obedience. So now it's a relationship, and as a result of the relationship, obedience comes. And so when you start looking at this thing, you can see how he who knew me before I was in my mama's womb, he knew all this before that was even one speck anywhere. So when you start to think about it in that way for me, it makes me very reverent to him and see how little I am. I told somebody once, and you probably heard this, I said, dirt don't know too much. Dust don't know it even less. And so when you start looking at all of that, you begin to not to boast about nothing. You begin to boast only about knowing him. Hallelujah. Now, I'm getting ready to close now. Somebody said, thank you, Lord. But what I want to close with is this. This thing that I wrote about the second fruit. When I looked at this chapter, this verse, I experienced an additional taste of the substance and the depth our resurrected Lord and Savior's, what his gift of the forever sealed presence of God's Holy Spirit living inside each one of us has called us to believe. Just think if he hadn't called us. Just think. No, he didn't call us. And it ain't over yet. But thank God, as of today, most of us in this place is not in the shape of not being able to do nothing. We are in a sweet position of being able to abide with Almighty God. We can tell him anything. We can take whatever's on our minds to him. If you're waiting for a mate, take it to him. If your mate is on your getting on your nerves, take it to him. You know, now, I might even get on Evelyn's nerves sometime, a little bit. You know? And I just want to tell you something. I want to share this with you, and then I'm going to close. You know, when I went to the marriage ministry, that's another time when you can understand how it's so good in a marriage to be able to abide. And the thing is that when both of you are focusing on the same thing, you got a touch of the supernatural there that can come in and do whatever the supernatural wants to do with it. And there is no color cooker solution to whether you should stay or whether you should go. Because some of us have stayed 44, and that's beautiful. Some of us can't get 44 out of 2, or can't get 44 out of 3, or can't get 44 out of 4, you know. So it's all about this one thing. And the Lord woke me up with it one morning. And he said this to me. He said, you know, little boy Jim, he said, you are there complaining and stuff about what Evelyn don't do, what she can't do, what she can't do, what she doing over there, what she doing, what she ain't doing there. And see, what happens when you get married when you're old, you have been used to doing certain things certain ways. And fam, I'm just telling y'all the truth. And when you get married when you're young, you don't know how to do nothing anyway. So the fact of the matter is, what is the secret to this marriage thing? If you think it's all about you, it ain't. How great you are. Don't think that, Ned. That 44 ain't from you. And you either, man. But that 44 is from him being in the center. And you know what a blessing really is? Is when he allows you and your mate to get to know him better together. See, that's the glue. Because what happens when you get to know him better, he begins to show you you. See? And then he begins to show you the beauty of your mate that you didn't see before because you were blind. Because, see, the only way that you get your sight really at, what's the best sight? 20/20, right? The only way you get your sight at 20/20 is if he gives it to you. And you can't see nothing until, like it says right here, until he gives you sight. That's why this thing right here, this fifth verse in chapter 15 of John has really been with me for the last week, maybe a week and a half. And there's so much stacked into this little piece of thing here. I'm thankful for the pastor. See, at one time, I didn't know how to do that. I looked at that. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Okay, so that's good. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now we're going to six. Because I ain't seen nothing. And so that's what the power of abiding will do. It will get you to where I am this morning. And I'm just that far. And, you know, I'm just told y'all, you know, just this happened when I was riding the car. This just happened about 3 or 4 months ago. So even though I'm old as dirt, I still just about right here relative to being able to stretch out in him. And because I still have problems with it. Don't think I'm there yet. But you know what? I'm at the most peaceful place in my old life. I tell you. And I ain't playing. I ain't playing. I'm not playing. I'm telling you the God's given truth. And you know what? I'm going to end with this. Is that, you know, this whole thing of the fruit. Many bear much fruit. The fruit that when we abide with him that we're stretching for is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, love. Those are the fruit that he's talking about here. He ain't talking about making a whole lot of money. Or that wonderful face you have. Or that wonderful shape you're aspiring to. He ain't talking about none of that. None of that. He's talking about what the real fruit is. Yeah. Because when you have all of that and don't have the fruit of the Spirit, you ain't got nothing. Amen, brother. And I'm going to I'm going to end this right now, and I'm just want to read some. I always have to bring a little token with me from one of our adventure sessions. And the adventure sessions are three Valley Brook adventure sessions. One is Sunday morning. Pastor Norman takes us on an adventure. And sometimes it's my truth, and sometimes I ain't where he is, but I ask the Lord, let me get there. Because, see, I'm not ashamed anymore from his truth not being mine. I'm not ashamed anymore when I hear Michael speak, and he knows. I'm not ashamed anymore because Michael can pull that every annual picnic together like that, and I can't. I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed of Brother Bill's truthfulness and sensitivity. I ain't ashamed of it. Praise you, God. Thank you. Thank you for this morning. You know, it's something that he gives us, and I'm thankful for it. But let me just tell you about what happens in all these adventures in Bible study. It's an adventure because we walked through Exodus for 7 whole months. And then at the end of that 7 months, you know what the pastor, our leader, said? I want you all the next week to come prepared to be able to talk about what Exodus meant to you. I said, Lord, have mercy. How am I going to go about this? And that was when I got stuck on abiding. See, I said, Lord, I'm going to have to abide in you. And you know what? But the good thing about it all was that when he acted, it was about 9 of us or so sitting around at that Bible study. It was the most amazing thing that happened for me in a long time. How that mystery turned into a miracle. And what I mean turned into a miracle is that everybody there gave a really soul-stirring account of what Exodus meant to them. Everybody. And they all were different, but they were based on a thread of the same thing, and that was about the power of his spirit, of God's spirit. And that was amazing. So I'm going to close with this morning. And this is something from my Sunday school adventure. You all know who the author is of this saying here. If you don't, I'll tell you tomorrow. This is what he's saying. As you consider your spiritual journey today, I want that to sink in. As each one of us consider our spiritual journey today, don't seek to be strong. Seek to know Jesus, and strength will follow. That's what he told me, and that's real. That's my truth. Because I tried it. I'm still trying it. Never let the mission obscure the master. And with that, I'm finished, and thank you, God, for getting me through this morning. Thank you.